Listen on Demand, brought to you by 680 News.
David, so lovely to speak with you. I remember the good old days on Huntley Street because I lived on Earl Street, which sort of intersected with Huntley. So I was just down the street from you in those early days on Huntley Street.
And we of course, claimed that number 100, and we've kind of tried to live that way with, you know, 100% living. And so on the street, of course, that was an interesting street down in the corner of Huntley Street and Isabella, where some of the girls would ply their trade, and it was a very interesting area.
I remember it well, and I remember the girls, for sure.
Yeah.
Now, where did it all begin, David? When did you start doing this, and what was your inspiration for getting it all started?
Well, the first Saturday night of June, 1962, 50 years ago this past Saturday, we went on a television station, the original Saturday Night Live. Now, we didn't call it that. We called it Crossroads, but it was at 11:30 p.m. after the late news and sports. On a new television station that opened up for the Upper Ottawa Valley, and before the only late movie of the week, the owner agreed to sell me time for $50, which was twice what I was making as a pastor up in Deep River, which is, you know, 26 miles northwest of Pembroke. But you know, we had a tremendous response, and the owner said, you're welcome back, and so we've been there ever since.
Well, that's great, and you seem to be a natural TV personality, but was it something that you'd always aspired to do?
No, actually, I was planting a new congregation in Deep River, which is the residential area for Atomic Energy of Canada at Chalk River, and I thought, well, here's a non-threatening way to get into the homes of people and just share what my passion is, and that's Jesus and his message to the human race. And you know, people are in control of, in those days they had to get up and turn the dial, which is a little more challenging. Besides, they could only get one channel up there, so I thought, here's a good opportunity to kind of go beyond the walls of our church building and see what might happen. And indeed, good things happened.
Yeah, you had a captive audience, so to speak.
Well, if they could leave, of course. That's what I mean, non-threatening. It's not like somebody knocking at your door, you know, bothering you at the door. This is a little bit lower key than that.
Yeah, for sure. Now, I understand, like, we here at 680 News are under the Rogers banner.
Yes.
And I understand that Ted Rogers' mother actually had a big influence on what happened next.
Well, now, Ted, of course, gave us in Toronto when we got our license for the TV station. We have a network now of stations across Canada, but our first license there in Toronto, Ted said, "Okay, David, I'm giving you Channel 9. I don't owe you anything anymore because because of how mother was, how mother loved 100 Huntley Street." But Ted and I served together as judges. We were the only two Canadians that have ever been judges in the International Templeton Prize, which is the largest annual prize, and it's Sir John Templeton, the mutual funds man, set it up, and every year at Buckingham Palace the prize would be given. And so we worked together at that level. It was for progress in religion. And you know, we actually, Ted and I never really discussed religion. We talked about a lot of things, and he talked about how his mother loved Huntley Street, but that was about it.
Interesting. He was a great guy.
Absolutely. And of course, his wife and an excellent painter. We've been in their home. In fact, we entertained from the UK, the chief rabbi of Great Britain and the Commonwealth, who had come to Toronto, and a part of the prize, the Templeton Prize, was presented at Convocation Hall. And so that was one of the gatherings we had, was at Ted's home, with the Archbishop, of course, of Toronto, as well as the Chief Rabbi of the Commonwealth. He was given the prize for his work helping the refuseniks in Russia. And he also had written the standard textbook, as far as I'm concerned, on medical ethics, brilliant man whom we loved very, very much.
Wow. And what year would that have been, David?
Oh, boy. I would say that might have been 96, maybe. Right. Something like that. Yeah. I'm just guessing.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
sorry.
Yeah, and it's a rough time period for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're very interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You've had an interesting life.
Well, it's I love it. I love every minute of it. You know, I asked the board of directors. Crossroads is a charity, although CTS, the television network, is not. It's non-profit but non-charity. But Crossroads Christian Communications, the producers of 100 Huntley Street and a lot of children's programming and other programs, is a full-blown, federally chartered charity.
Right. And tell me about, you know, where some of the funds go. What groups do you help support with
Well, all over the world, actually. In fact, today at 9 o'clock tonight on 100 Huntley Street, Charles Mulley, who is an amazing man, he lived on the streets of Nairobi, was taken in by a loving family, and he became a multimillionaire. But he went back to the streets, and he gave everything away. He's like the rich young ruler. Jesus challenged him, sell what you have, give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. But he went away sorrowfully. He didn't do it. But Charles Mulley did. And he has cared now for 7,000 street children, and 5,000 of them are already out in the workforce, and they're changing the face of Kenya. Amazing. The agricultural projects and the educational efforts and these things that Charles is leading. So we have been a major supporter of Charles and his work because he ran out of money. He gave all his own money away, ran out of money, so 100 Huntley Street stepped up and said, okay, we'll help you.
Fantastic.
And also Arvid Lowen, who's from Winnipeg, he used to be the number two man in a big furniture manufacturing place there. He quit, retired, and last year he went across Canada by bicycle, set a Guinness Book of Records. He's doing it again this time, and he expects to break that record, and this time go all the way to St. John's, Newfoundland with his bicycle, raising funds. He's raised about $1.5 million himself, so... there's a little clip about him tonight on the Huntley Street program as well.
Wow, terrific people.
I watched this morning the live telecast on the Global Network. That's why I'm fresh on what's on Huntley Street. I hosted last week, asked the board for a present, a 50th anniversary present. I wanted my old job back for a week, and they said yes. So I had a ball last week.
Fantastic. Now, David, I mean, CTS has grown. I mean, initially it was just the one program, but now there's a whole broad spectrum of programming. Just describe for me a little bit the mandate and all the bases that you cover on the network.
Yeah, well, it is a commercial television station with a priority for religious programming. Now, we do carry programs of non-Christian religions, which I think is good because you've got a dialogue. You know, you can't raise the fence to between you and your neighbor to 10 feet high and expect to have any communications across the fence. And so there are 5 hours a week of non-Christian programming, and it kind of, and then of course there's lots of Christian programming because that's who we are, Crossroads Christian Communication and the Crossroads Television System. So yeah, there's that, plus a lot of wholesome entertainment programming, family programming. And we've got some great things on tap right now, some new children's programming. Our chief content officer, Bruce Stacey, won the award in the National Association of Broadcasters in the States for being the first one years ago to marry puppets and animation. And, you know, the creator of the Muppets was working his way toward that, excuse me, toward that goal.
Right, right.
When unfortunately he died from, you know, a terrible thing, the flesh-eating disease. Well, Bruce Stacey picked it up and carried it on, accomplished that, and had multiple awards from the National Association of Broadcasters, the big annual conference they normally have in Las Vegas, I think. And so he's our chief content officer, and we have a tremendous creative team. And, of course, I think Bruce Stacey's the most creative person I've ever met, so there's some fabulous new programming coming down the pipe.
That's great. It's a vital station, that's for sure, and 50 years is nothing to sniff at.
Well, 680, I tell you, the news, right on. I enjoy 680. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you. Also, you listen to 680.
I do.
Fantastic.
Yes, when I want the news immediately, that's where I go.
And that's what we want you to do.
Very good.
So tell me about some of the guests you've had on over the years who have been interesting.
Well, one of my favorites is going to be hosting a brand new television series, and that's George Foreman. We had George on back in 1979, and boy, did he pack a punch. In fact, when he came out onto the set, he kissed me on both cheeks, and I said, I've seen people kissed by your fist, but I've never seen anybody, kiss anybody. Well, he said, the Bible says, greet the brethren with a holy kiss, and he was so fired up, and so he won the championship, was a multimillionaire. He was like Charles Mully in Kenya, in fact. He spent everything he had in building a couple of recreation centers for the inner city kids in San Antonio, which is the fourth largest city in the state, and ran out of money. So the only way he knew to make money was boxing. He went back in, and for the first time, the only time in history that someone has reclaimed the World Heavyweight Championship was George at 45. And every middle-aged man, their chest size grew about 2 inches that time with George taking that championship, spent it all again. So he ran out of money again, and guess what? He got a great idea, the George Foreman Grill. And George has sold 110 million of those around the world. And you look at George's face when he does the commercial for that, and there's a light on inside with George. Well, George they've got Bruce Stacey, and they've got the works going. George is going to be hosting a new series for Crossroads. So, this is one of the most colorful. He's got five sons. They're all named George, and one daughter, her name is I think it's Georgina. Most unique character. And he's a pastor, now right in the heart of the slum area, if you will, of San Antonio. And a lot of the suburb people don't come in. So he only has about 200 or 300 people as a pastor now, and he never misses a Sunday. You can't get him to go anywhere on a Sunday. And he's out on the streets, and he's got several of these recreation centers that he's built now. So there are some very colorful and very great people. I mean, not only was he a great boxer, but he's a great person in his character and in what his goals in life.
Yeah, he's a great role model, too.
Absolutely. Thank God for people like that.
Yeah, need more of that, for sure.
Yeah.
And who are some of the other people you've had on over the years that you remember?
Oh, boy, where do I go from here? Ernie Hollins, he was 25 years in prison in Canada. His mother sent him out when he was about 7 or 8 and taught him how to steal down in Halifax. And his life just, went from there. But a proprietor of a sports store in Pembroke, Ontario, by the name of Grant Bailey, would go down every couple of months to Millhaven Penitentiary in near Kingston, and he would buy the fish flies that Ernie was tying. And Grant, when I remember Grant and his wife, Grant was a United Church layman, but Grant would share his faith with Ernie, and Ernie just didn't believe anything. He said, as far as I was concerned, I consider myself a cockroach. That was his description of himself. And a lot of the time he was in solitary, but Ernie had an experience with God, and Grant picked him up when he was released, took him to Pembroke, said, Ernie, you can have any job you want. Ernie had never had a bedroom of his own. Stayed in the Bailey's home. He said, I want to be cashier. And rifles all down the wall. And here was Ernie at the cashier. And the Ottawa Citizen sent a reporter, a photographer, all the way up to interview him. Front page story, They used to call him the Detroit Desperado. Now he was a Canadian, but he did some of his criminal activities in the States. And they had a picture of a front page of the Ottawa Citizen running the cash register. Well, Ernie was probably the most colorful character. On Huntley Street, he was now over 50. But he said, I'd like to find a wife. Well, there was a widow in Brockville whose three kids that night, Ernie said, I need a wife and I want a family. And the three kids at their family, their prayers at their bedside prayed, oh, God, give us Ernie as our new daddy, because their daddy had died. And they give us Ernie as a new daddy. Well, that's exactly what happened. I had an email from Joy. They had one child, named her Joy, and I had an email from her this week because I ran a clip from Ernie last week on 100 Huntley Street. So those are just two, you know?
Yeah, gosh, some fascinating characters.
Yeah, and real characters.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing.
And I understand you actually had Colonel Sanders on as well.
Oh, yes, he's been on as well, and yeah, that's true.
Now, how did you know him?
By the way, anybody over 50, I think he was about 52. No, he was 55 when he started Kentucky Fried Chicken. And you know, he has, in fact, at the hospital out there in Mississauga, the big hospital where they specialize in heart, there's a whole wing that Colonel Sanders donated. I don't know how much money he gave. Must have been several millions when they sold the franchise in Canada. And his name is up there. I was just in there to visit a man who just had a quintuple bypass operation. And here's Colonel Sanders up there. He was broke at 55. You know, and started Kentucky Fried Chicken. So I just say that to encourage everybody that if you have faith and you have the courage, you know, go for it.
For sure. For
yeah.
sure. Because 55 ain't old, is it?
That's true.
Now, David, I wanted to ask you, I mean, we live in a crazy world these days. Do you think there's more of a need than ever for the type of programming that you're doing?
Yeah, well, of course, the television, you know, is waning. I hate to say it. Now, local radio, you know, is strong. But in general, with whatever 300-400 channels, you know, the competition is out there. I saw a report not long ago that over 60% of all the information people now receive comes over the internet. Now, I know the radio station is over the internet as well,
mm-hmm.
but so it's a whole new world out there, and our new chief executive officer is a guy by the name of Don Simmons. Don is a member of the Telecommunications Hall of Fame, and he's a businessman who started about 20 companies in the high-tech field. But he's also, as far as I'm concerned, a great Christian leader. He took on a youth organization called Youth Unlimited in Toronto. And under his leadership, they went from about three staff up to I think around 70 or 80 now on full-time staff in the high schools in Toronto. And so he's the new leader, and he is, I think, the best qualified person to help us move in, you know, to where the kids are. I mean, my 7-year-old great-granddaughter, my oldest great-granddaughter, she knows far more than I do, although I'm learning because I'm doing a daily blog. Every morning at 6 a.m. I upload and post a blog called 100words.ca every morning. And so, I'm trying to learn. But the children, I mean, I've seen children as young as 4 or 5 that know a lot more than I do.
Oh, yeah, you're not
alone. I mean,
alone.
They go to the computer and there they are. And the use of it, somehow it needs to be control, because there's a lot of bad stuff on there, but thank God there's a lot of good stuff too.
Absolutely. Now, David, not so much in Canada, but in the States, we see religion and politics kind of banging heads a lot. What's your take on that?
Well, it is here in Canada, in Ontario, you know, with the government of Ontario and the insistence that the Roman Catholic schools enter into something that is absolutely contrary to their statements of faith.
Right.
In the States, it has to do with Catholic institutions that have to provide, you know, the morning after abortion pill and et cetera, et cetera. You know, freedom of religion. It seems to me the government is moving over on the church's turf. And that may be because the church in the States, much more than here, has moved over, I think, in some aspects onto the government's turf. And so, you know, we need to keep that separation. There has to be freedom of conscience. I mean, people need freedom of conscience. You know, marriages of the same gender, the liberals and the conservatives allowed their members to vote according to their conscience. I don't do this always, but I had a reason for being there. But I was walking down the hall the afternoon when that vote was going to be taken, and here was the member of parliament for Churchill. She was sitting out in the hall, and she was weeping. And I thought, here's the man. I mean, she was, you know, a member of parliament, NDP. I went over, and I sat down beside her. I put my arm around her, and I said, what's wrong? Can I have a prayer with you? I knew she was a Christian, United Church of Canada member up there in Churchill. And she said, I'm not allowed to vote my conscience on this, and I'm going to be turfed out of the party. And so, but I'm glad the liberals and conservatives both allow them to do it. I mean, people have to, they cannot violate their conscience. And she was forced to violate her conscience there.
Yeah.
She refused to do it, so out she went.
Yeah. You know?
And then they ran somebody else against her up in Churchill, mm-hmm. and she didn't, as an independent, she did not win the nomination mm-hmm. next time.
And we're probably going to be facing a lot of these conflicts coming
well,
up.
Well, it's not right. Yeah. I mean, it's just not right. I mean, the whole freedom of conscience, and that's one of the reasons why the original people came to the Western world, came to this continent. You know, it has to be top priority. You know, people cannot be forced to violate their own principles. It makes a person double-minded. It psychologically almost destroys a person.
Absolutely.
If they go against their conscience.
Yeah, for sure.
So we need to be careful in this regard, and we need to maintain the other freedoms that we've had in the past. And you know, bullying is a terrible thing. And I was a school teacher, by the way, before I went to study theology. And you know, we just handled. In fact, I don't remember much of it, but we just handled it in a way that was compassionate. And I think schools can do that if, as long as the teachers are prepared to go, you know, the second mile,
yeah,
to take an interest in the kids and not just do their professional thing in the classroom.
Yeah, I think there's something else that came into play there. With all the political correctness and you know,
yeah,
not being able to really say certain things to the kids or touch yeah. them in any way. You know, I think that's caused a lot of the teachers to draw away, become cold and withdrawn.
Yeah, perhaps.
That's been my experience anyway, and it's too bad. Yeah, and I think it has to become.
And the Lord, you know, we're just to love people, whoever they are and wherever they are, and whatever they do. You know, we love them. I mean, Jesus loved people. There was a woman who was found in the act of adultery, you know, that Jesus talked about in the Gospels, or the Gospel writer talked about. And she was, they were going to stone her, you know. I mean, it's not too much different in some areas of the Middle East right now.
Hmm.
I mean, horrible stuff.
Wow.
So I think what happened was Jesus said to this guys, you know, you that don't have any sin, you throw whoever has no sin, throw the first stone. Well, they all went away. And then Jesus said, where are your accusers? I don't have any, Lord. I think she felt love for the first time in her life.
Mm.
She was, God's love was coming through like gangbusters. And then Jesus said, but go and sin no more. You know, so he wouldn't say that if he wasn't ready to give her the power, the strength, you know,
yeah,
to clean up her life and keep it going in the right direction. And whether it's an alcoholic with a higher power at AA or whatever it is, you know, God is at work in the world today in great and wonderful ways. And I've seen it. In fact, we have a book this month that anybody can get by calling in or emailing or whatever they do, and it's stories of the difference that Jesus has made in so many lives. You know, front and center, that's who it is. It's not a religion, or it's not a doctrine or a denomination. It's a person. it's all about Jesus. In fact, that's the name of the book, and I've written a couple of stories in there, and others have written stories. I think there are 50 stories that show, you know, that Jesus, who's alive and well, when people turn to him, he makes all the difference in the world.
David, I think you do a wonderful job.
Thank you very, very much. Fantastic. I appreciate that, Gloria.
I wanted to ask you, I mean, back in the 80s, I mean, I was watching Jim and Tammy Faye and Jimmy Swaggart,
yeah.
and they got into trouble. You didn't.
Well,
what happened there?
Well, I think maybe I had a different approach. I had a real strict Methodist father and mother, but my dad had an earned doctorate in theology, and he pumped that into me at the noon meal. That's what we talked about, and I mean, he was strict, and I appreciate that very, very much. And my mother, you know, kind of poured in the love, and my dad poured in the discipline, although I knew he loved me. There was never a question in my mind on that. And so I just think, well, you know, the temptation. I remember there was a minister up here. He's a Baptist minister from the Philadelphia area by the name of Tony Campolo. Tony was the one, after Clinton's,
right.
affair, about once a week, the newsreels would catch Tony going in and out of the White House. You know, he wouldn't have used that term, but he was kind of like the father confessor. he was the counselor. He's a professor of psychology as well as an ordained Baptist minister. So Tony was up here in Canada, and he said, we Americans are trying to get these people down off the pedestals. Now, there's a terrific temptation up there. And Jesus had the three temptations, so you know, be careful. But he said, you Canadians, we're trying to get them off the bed. You Canadians see anybody heading for a pedestal, and you tackle them before they get there. So I think there is a special role here that, and then when this did happen in the U.S., I mean, Charles Templeton was on every open line show. He was on the news. He was, and the primate of the Anglican Church, who Archbishop Scott, and the leaders of all the major churches were put out press releases to the effect that, and this is a miracle, but they trusted David Mains. Well, I trusted God, okay? But this was a miracle, so, you know, it never tarred us up here in any way. Besides, I've got the most beautiful wife on the planet, and, you know, and all those other benefits.
That's great. So, David, when people think of David Mains, what would you like them to think of?
Well, just a guy who did what he there was to do. I was encouraged by Murray Churkover was the head of the CTV network when it was originally founded, and he was one that really helped open the doors, because I was up in Sudbury at the time. I'd moved from Deep River a couple of years after we began in 62 64, summer 64. I moved to Sudbury, and the owner of the television station in Pembroke wrote to the Sudbury station, said, we want to keep this guy on every Saturday night. Can you do a videotape? Send it down by bus every week, and we'll play it 1 week delay. And so, the CTV network got involved, Channel 9, Toronto. We were, I think, the first ever television program of that nature to be on a Toronto television station. CBC always carried a church service Sunday morning. And when they were created, in the documents of the creation of the CBC, they were to care for the religious needs of Canadians. 1 hour Sunday morning was their commitment to that. Anyhow.
That's great. So would you like to be viewed as a pastor, a spiritual advisor? I mean, how do you like people to see you?
I really don't have any ambition in that way, in that regard at all. I just want to see people grow and develop in every area of their lives, and I want to see them grow spiritually at every age and every stage in their spiritual journey. And so that's what I want to see, and that will be a legacy that will be if by the grace of God we make heaven, then I think the Lord might report to us once in a while. He won't report the bad stuff, but the good stuff down here, because if he reported the bad stuff, it wouldn't be heaven. So that's how it goes.
Very good. David Main, so lovely speaking with you.
Oh, great speaking with you, Gloria. God bless.
And I'm going to check out your blog, sir.
Okay. Thanks. Okay. 100words.ca.
All righty.
Okay, bye-bye.
I'll be there. Have a great day.